Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Seeing the Lord that sees you. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us today, look, if you will, at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15. We feel led by the Holy Spirit to look at a topic today that's not thought too much of. We feel led to focus upon something that is continuously going on in our lives. I want to ask you today, have you ever felt somebody staring at you? Felt somebody just looking at you? You could literally just feel their eyes upon you. I can remember growing up as a boy up here at Beach Grove Baptist Church. I could not only feel, but I could see my mom's eyes on me. Watching me. Watching me. You might say, well, why? Well, so that I wouldn't get into anything. Just knowing that that gaze was upon me was just enough just to put me in check. All had to be done was just to look at me. And if I was whispering or talking or maybe giggling, I wouldn't even have to look. I could feel her stare upon me. I thought about that a great deal. And when you think about a gaze or a stare upon you, it can either go one of two ways. It can either be okay or it can be very unpleasant. The Holy Spirit began to speak to our heart about a gaze, about a look. Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15, in verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Oh, dear friends, when the Lord led us to this passage, He began to remind me on how that we feel when we know that we're being looked at. Oh, dear friends, as we said just a few moments ago, when a parent, a loved one would look my way as a small boy, that changed my actions, that changed my demeanor. Oh, dear friends, when we look here at the wisdom of Solomon, we see here how that the Lord laid it upon His heart to pen this text about the eyes of the Lord. I want you to look today at your heart and at your life and to know, dear friend, that the Lord is peering at you. He's looking at you. He's staring at you. He's gazing at you. And I ask you today, how does that make you feel? I can tell you, it will either make you feel good or it can make you feel ashamed. I pray today that it makes you feel good and that you feel like rejoicing just knowing that you're in the eye shot of the Almighty. I pray today that to know that the Lord's gaze and His stare upon you brings to you great joy and great peace in your heart. The Lord words that Solomon penned here in the Proverbs had great and rich meanings. These Proverbs was even read 3 centuries later in the days of King Hezekiah. You say, why is that so significant? It's significant because the Word of God has a way to touch people in a very unique way. And I pray today that when you think and you focus upon the look that God has upon you, that should shape you and mold you and make you, praise God, what the Lord would have you to be. Oh, when I looked at this beautiful word, the Holy Spirit led us also to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, where the word says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but a broken of the heart, the spirit is broken." You see, dear friends, you can know that the Lord is looking upon you. The Lord has a reason to have His eyes upon you. And I pray today that it brings you joy, that it brings you peace, that it makes you happy. I pray that you don't feel ashamed when you think about the gaze and the look that the Lord has upon you today. I can tell you, when I was misbehaving as a small, as a little boy, and my mom would look at me, you know something? I'd feel ashamed. I'd feel very troubled. I'd feel distraught. You know why? I had a love and a respect for her. I tell you today, I pray that the look and that the gaze of the Almighty that's looking at you today is making a great and a profound effect in your life at this very moment and this time. I pray that there's no shame, no regret, no remorse. I pray today that you have a joy-filled heart, knowing that the Lord is looking at you. Oh, I pray that that be the case. But if it is not, dear friends, the Lord has a remedy of that. He has a remedy for that. You say, what is that? To look to Him, to look to the Lord, to make eye contact with the Almighty. There's something very intimate and very personal when you see the sums of somebody's eyes that's looking at you. I believe, dear friends, that the Lord has a desire for us to make eye contact with Him, to see the Lord that's seen us, and that joyous union, that joyous bliss of looking at the Almighty, your Creator, brings a blessing to your soul. Oh, many today, when they think about the almighty stare of the Lord, they try to run and they try to hide. Oh, you can't run and you can't hide from the Almighty. Just go back to the book of Genesis and look at Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, the Lord, He came a-walking. He said, "Where art thou, Adam?" He knew exactly where Adam was because his eyes were fixed upon Him. We say that to say this: the eyes of the Lord is fixed on us all. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Oh, how does it make you feel? When I think about that, I feel joyous. I truly do. I believe that's why that David wrote in Psalms 34, in verse 15, he says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Oh, my friend. friends, today when you look at God with burdens on your heart and you cry out to Him, that brings a joy, that brings a peace, that brings a contentment to your heart that no one can provide but God Almighty. God can bring to you, He can bring to me, praise God, what we need. Hey, my church family, hey, let us look at the Lord. Let us gaze upon the One who's looking at us. You catch a child into something, you can just be playing with them, being pestering with them just for a little bit. When you, they'll kind of cow down. They'll walk away. They'll kind of shun away. You say, whoa, Brother Lynn, that's a child. Oh, we do the same thing when we're ashamed, when we sinned and we failed and we've come short, and the Holy Spirit has made mention of that to us. We feel ashamed just knowing that the all-seeing eye of the Almighty is a witness to our wrongdoing. I pray today that when we fail and we come short of the glory of God, and we know the all-seeing eye of God is upon us, I pray with a heartfelt desire that we will look to Him, we will praise Him, and ask forgiveness for the sins in our lives. That's what makes a difference. That's what makes a difference. The psalmist knew that. We know that. Solomon knew that. And I pray today that we realize that. Oh, when I looked here at the Word and we begin to focus upon the passages of Scripture, thinking about David and all the things in David's life, listen to this familiar passage. The Bible says in Psalm 17 and verse number 8, David quotes this. He says this from the heart. He says, keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. He welcomed the Lord looking at him, and he rejoiced knowing that God, the loving Lord, would cradle him, would comfort him, and praise God, provide for him. Not to run, not to hide, not to feel shame or remorse, but to feel joy. Seeing the Lord that sees us. You and I today, look to God. We are to lift our eyes to God. That's why the psalmist says in 121 of Psalms, I lift my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Praise God. I have someone that I can look to. I have someone who will have an intimate relationship with me and make eye contact with me that brings a warmness and a contentment to my heart that goes beyond all explanation. There is something about making eye contact. There's something about that. It's very personal. The psalmist knew it. Solomon knew it. And praise God, we know it. Notice again in verse 3 of Proverbs 15. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Oh, the omnipresence of the Almighty is not just here or there. Praise God. It's everywhere. And the all-seeing, all-knowing eyes of the Lord God Almighty, He sees. He sees you at your best, and He sees you at your worst. We're to look to Him. we're to look to Him. David said He wanted to be the very apple of His eye. You study that apple of the eye, that means the pupil. It means the innermost part of the eye. That's what David desired to be a part of. I pray to God, that's what we desire to be a part of, and not just to be the apple of His eye, but that He's the apple of our eye. You see, my mom looked at me in the days and times of misbehaving. Not because she desired to punish, but because she desired to love. She desired to love. Because you see, I was hers. I belonged to her. Oh, dear friend, you're a child of God. If you've been washed in the blood, you're a child of the King. And yes, He brings chastisement. But praise be to God, He loves you. He loves, and His compassions fail not. How many times have we read in the New Testament when Jesus seen the multitudes, and the Bible says He was filled with compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. Oh, dear friend, my Lord, who sees you, who knows you, has a desire to bless you because He loves you. He's watching. You know something? I feel safe to say a lot of people are better at church on Sunday than they are at the water cooler at work on Monday. Do they not think the Lord is not seeing them there as well as He's seeing them here? You know something? I'm not picking on my mom. My mom died February 20th of 1985. I think about her every day. But I'll tell you this. You know, she could be out of the room and I could be misbehaving. I'd still feel like she's seen me. Huh? Think about that. Think about how God is. You might say, well, I'm out of the confines of Pine Hill Baptist Church. I'm on my own. I'm carefree. I'm a free spirit. Oh, no one sees and no one knows. I tell you today, let us see the Lord that's seen us. We would change. Things would be different. Things would be different in your life and in my life if we would just humble ourselves to the gaze of God. We don't think about that. We just think that the Lord sees us when we're here. When we're here. We know better than that. But we live like that. I thought about a man by the name of Job. Talked to a sister today that we were reading about Job. You know what old Job said? Job said in Job 34, verse number 21, he says, "For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings." What Job was saying, whether I'm high or whether I'm low, whether I'm sad or whether I'm happy, no matter what may be coming my way or what I'm a part of, the Lord sees and He knows. Have you ever felt so low and so distraught and so downtrodden that you just felt like you were the only person on the face of the earth? And you felt like not only did the devil kick you from pillar to post, but he has just laid upon you all the heartache and pain that he can muster. And we feel sometimes as though no one cares. No one cares. No one's around. No one sees. No one knows. Oh, dear friend, the Lord knows and He sees. Oh, it is high time that we as a church see the Lord that sees us. Oh, I tell you, ain't about 3 points in a poem. It ain't about the stirring of the flesh. It ain't about the contemporary. It ain't about the modernism. It's about the relationship with God. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I thought about old Job. Job knew that the Lord seen all and that the Lord knew all. But I want to tell you just what Job knew. Tell you just what Job knew. Because you see, a lot of times in our lives, when things seem to be falling apart in our lives and we find ourselves in between the spiritual rock and the spiritual hard place, sometimes the pity party gets so intense and we feel so sorry for ourselves, we can't look up for looking down. Oh, Job was someone who didn't fall into that snare. Oh, Job was someone who knew that the Lord was looking and that the Lord was seen. I want you to listen to what Job says in Job chapter 19 in verse 25 and verse 26. Take note of this. The Bible says in Job 19, 25 and 26, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth, and the after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." I thought about that. Sometimes I feel the same. But he never fails to see me. And despite all my failures and all my shortcomings, because of the shed blood of the Son of God, I'm going to see him one day. I'm going to see him, not just with a spiritual eye, but praise God, with a physical eye. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. You know something? The only thing in heaven that's man-made is the scars on Jesus' hands. And I'm going to see them one day. He'll make it possible, Maddie, for me to see them one day. Oh, oh, what a day. What a day that will be. This old world will drag you down. This old world will weigh you down. But praise be to God when we today will look at the Lord who's looking at us and changes all things. Without saying a word. Lynn, I've never failed to look at you. I've never failed to see you. Never, never, never have I failed. You say, "Brother, I feel sometimes very low. Sometimes I feel very low. I thought about that. And I thought about a man of faith in the Scriptures. Sometimes it takes that intimate eye contact to make all the difference." You remember a man by the name of Peter? Peter was a follower, a disciple, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter got down and out and he got low. And on the night of our Lord's arrest at Gethsemane, the Bible says that the prophecy that Jesus spoke was fulfilled.
Well, Jesus earlier had told Peter that he would deny him. And the Bible tells us in Luke, in chapter 22, in verses 60 and 61, at Peter's denial, the Bible says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crowed." Now notice this. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to listen very closely. In verse number 61, "And the Lord turned and did what? He looked upon Peter at the worst moment in his life. That's a picture of love. And the Bible says, and Peter remembered the word. When the Lord looks my way and I meet his gaze, the Holy Spirit reminds me where I was, where I am, and where I need to be. Peter had some soul searching, didn't he? When he denied three times and the cock crowed, at the first denial, he probably didn't even think about God looking at him. At the second, probably gave it little thought that God was looking at him. But that third time, at that denial and that cock crowed, Jesus incarnate, the Son of God, the second of the Trinity, looked his way to remind him. And what did the Bible say? It said he remembered. He remembered. And because of his remembrance, a great change began to take place in the life of Peter. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 62 of Luke 22, "And Peter went out and he wept bitterly." He wept bitterly. You say, well, was he cast out? No. You just keep a reading and you will find that in a short time the Lord would come to him. You know, he was watching Peter fish. He even fixed him breakfast. And he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" He said, "You know I do, Lord." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus was watching him. He had a purpose for him. The Lord's watching us. He has a purpose for us. No matter how low we may seem, I pray today that we make eye contact with the Lord and see the Lord that sees us and be better because of it. When you leave the house of prayer today, I ask you to be mindful that the all-seeing eye of the Lord is upon you. You know something? I believe in my life that if it had dawned on me many times in my life, I would have probably acted much differently. But I'm thankful for that correcting gaze of my Savior that brings things in perspective in my life. So I know where I am and where I need to be because of His eye. My prayer is today, dear friends, that we look to the Lord who sees us with a cheerful heart, as Solomon writes, and know that joy and peace comes from making eye contact with God Almighty. Let's stand to our